Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Reclaiming Creativity, a podcast where we explore how to get your creative mojo back after having kids. Today's not only the very first interview on Reclaiming Creativity, but my birthday as well, which so far has been spent chasing after my little boy and driving 30 minutes to the doctor for a 5-minute appointment. At least we stopped by Starbucks for coffee and cake pops. I think their salted caramel pops are pretty close to perfection. So today's guest is Rhiannon Llewellyn, entrepreneur and mom of 4, ranging from 4 to 14. I met her online while she was pregnant with her 4th, and we clicked almost instantly, and I'm honored to call her a friend. Rhi is the brand transmogrifier at Brandshift Media. She's co-host of the Holistic Business Radio podcast and founder and revolutionary at the Love and Money Revolution community, which is a revolution of work, worth, and spirituality. All of the links to Rhiannon's website and the podcast will be in the show notes at reclaimingcreativity.com. So, here's Rhiannon. So, wait, tell me a little bit about what your creative life was like before kids.
Oh, gosh, before kids. I grew up without a TV. I grew up on about 60 acres. About the back 20 was woods, the front 40 was fields and things like that. So my creativity was really more about just being outside and reading a lot. I didn't really have any sort of, you know, creative pursuits. Like I did some writing, but I didn't think much of it. I actually threw a lot of it away. And then my sister told me she saved it out of a waste bin later. And I was really embarrassed because I thought all my writing was crap. So I didn't consider that to be anything that I could do. So that's, just really, I just considered myself a reader.
Okay. What happened afterwards, that is, after kids? Did your expression of your creativity blossom, or what exactly happened to you with creativity?
That's a really good question. when you have little kids, they are always encouraging you, and by they, I mean, you know, books and doctors and, you know, blogs and stuff. They encourage you to do creative stuff with your kids. You know, like they're like, paint with them and sing to them and read to them. And the reading to them part was always really easy for me because that's normal. I love to read, but it was always difficult for me to do anything other than just, here's some crayons and a coloring book, go to town, you know? but over the years, since I've been mothering my kids now, for, you know, 13 years, I've become more comfortable with my own expression of creativity, where I don't feel like it has to be good enough anymore. I still do struggle with a lot of that. I really worry all the time whether or not I've written something that's worth reading. I don't like to really show off other things I do, like if I ever try to draw or if I try to use watercolors. I kind of like to keep that to myself because I'm still in that sort of a medium. I'm really uncomfortable with my expression of creativity, but I started to design with pixels, you know, because I'm a web designer. And so designing with pixels is really fun because you can be as perfectionist as you like and you can get it as exact as you like. And that to me is a lot of fun. I really enjoy that. And so it's funny, like with my hands, I don't feel like I'm very good at art, but with my mind and my mouse, I'm excellent at it.
Yeah, that's one place where I have a bit of a hang up myself. So we're kind of opposite with that. Give me a paintbrush any day and I will go to town, but tell me I have to design a logo for somebody and I will just probably bash my head in. So yeah, that's pretty interesting. So all of this kind of happened after you had kids.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think it was really just in my journey of understanding who I was and being comfortable with who I was, because in my childhood I was put in a box a lot of the time, like you can't do this, you can't do that, you're not allowed here, you're not allowed there, don't think about these things, etc. And so I kind of kept that box around me into my adult life until I finally realized, hey, I'm the grown up here. I can do what I want.
Yeah, I kind of get that as well. The box thing. That is a very difficult place to be, especially when you think that, you know, for me, I thought I was creative, but I wasn't allowed to be that because everybody expected me to be, you know, a scientist, computer programmer kind of person. So yeah, it's a difficult thing to break out of that box. And it's really interesting that, you know, finally having kids, you were allowed to, well, you were allowing yourself to break out of that box.
Yeah. Yeah. And that wasn't anything that I would have thought would happen to me when I was a new mom. And when my kids were, you know, I had two of them under the age of three. And, you know, if you would have told me later on in your life, you're going to be a writer and you're going to write a lot and you're going to do this kind of art, I would have been like, you must be talking about someone else because I don't have time. I don't have the brain power. And right now I don't even want to do any of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how are you finding or making the time for those creative endeavors?
Well, I'm fortunate that writing and designing is part of my work. So it's easier for me to say right now I'm taking the time to do these things because, you know, this is how I make my money. But I've gotten to where I take more time to write for myself than I used to. I've been journaling, and that's really good for you as a writer anyway because it polishes the craft. Mm-hmm. But I also really like to design for myself, and I will use up my work time to work on personal projects. I don't have any problem with that. I am kind of led by my intuition and my task list at the same time. So I think that because it's normal now for me that I need to take the time to do this work because this is how I make my money, it's easier for me to say, you know, right now it's time for me to sit down and make something.
You mentioned journaling. Is that a recent creative practice or is this something that you've always been doing?
I've always tried to journal, but it's not something, it's more like I would feel that there was such an overflow of stuff in my head that I was going to explode if I couldn't write it down. So I would write it down and I would think to myself, ooh, I'm journaling again. This is great. And then it would just kind of fall off after a couple of days or a week or so because I'd feel done, mm-hmm. You know, I'd feel complete. But I have started journaling regularly where it's part of my morning routine. Even if I don't feel like I have anything to say, you know, there are mornings where I write like maybe a paragraph and a half and I'm done. Mm-hmm. And then there are other mornings where I can't write fast enough. There's so much stuff that I want to say or talk about, whatever it is that's in my head. So I've decided that this is part of what's good for me. This is part of not only self-care for me to give myself that kind of platform, I guess, a private platform where I can say whatever and no one's there to judge me, not even myself. Mm-hmm. But it also feels like it's really good for me professionally. So I guess it's kind of doing both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. So where do you fit that part of your creative practice in?
That's in the morning. So I get up before my kids get up, which means, and I didn't used to have to do this because I used to homeschool and I tend to like to stay up really late and get up really late. So I get up at 6:30. Or somewhere between 6:30 and 6:45. And then I have, if I want to get a shower, I need to get up at 6:30. And if mm-hmm. it doesn't matter, I just throw on some clothes. And then a little after 7, I get up my oldest daughter and she gets ready for school and she gets on the bus. And then I have about 45 minutes of, about a half an hour to 45 minutes of alone time, relative alone time, while my boyfriend's getting ready and going to work before I have to get the boys up. And that's the period of time in which I do my journaling.
Okay.
Because it's not like meditation where you feel like it needs to be a lot quieter around you. I do that too, and I have to be a lot more careful about where I'm sitting and what's going on around me and whether or not I'm probably going to be interrupted. With journaling, you can write pretty much anywhere as long as it's not completely crazy. Mm-hmm. So that's been a nice way for me to just kind of start to process my day. I'm the kind of person where, and I think a lot of people are like this, you'll get up in the morning and something's just not right. Like you got up on the wrong side of the bed and then you're just kind of in a funk for the rest of the day. And I have discovered that journaling actually helps me to process that somehow, even if it only occurs to me what it might be while I'm writing it or while I'm thinking about what I'm going to write. And then I discover I'm not actually in a bad mood. I just had something I need to let go of. And then I feel better. And I really like that because when I'm in a bad mood, then I'm snippy with the kids. I don't do a good job with my work. I feel crappy. You know, it's just, it's like a snowball that rolls and rolls. So this is this really wonderful practice that I'm doing that makes me feel like I'm giving something to myself.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, you just kind of answered about three of the questions I just was going to ask next. So I don't have to ask them. Great. So What's the biggest challenge that you have with keeping the creative juices flowing and producing work?
Well, I've noticed that if I'm not eating food that really feeds me, not just, you know, I needed that because I needed the nutrition, but food that I enjoy, if I'm not eating like that regularly, and if I'm not getting up, like I said, and taking care of myself, and if I'm not feeling like that I'm emotionally okay, then I can't be very creative. So I've had to kind of step back, like zoom out and look at my life and decide what are the pieces of it that need to be paid attention to in order for me to be able to be creative. So, which is why I'm doing this thing where I'm getting up stupid early, at least for me. I would never have chosen to get up at 6:30 in the morning ever, unless I had to go somewhere. So I've chosen to do this because this is a big part of what makes me able to be creative when it's time for me to be creative.
Yeah, that's good. If you were to go back in time to when you were pregnant with your first child and give yourself one piece of advice regarding your creative life after kids, what would you say?
Oh, gosh. I think I would just try to comfort my pregnant self and say it's okay to just do what you need right now, because later things are going to be different. They're going to be different in ways you don't understand. So if you need to sleep, go ahead and sleep. If you can't clean the floor, don't clean the floor. Just do what you need to do to make yourself feel okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I've been struggling with myself, to get the things that I need to get done with regards to my own creativity, my own creative stuff. I have to let things go. And right now my house is a complete wreck. I haven't done the dishes in a couple of days. So,
well, I've told my boyfriend this, and I've told some other friends of mine this, that there are things that it matters to me to be really, really good at. I want to be a really good writer. I want to be a really good designer. I want to be a really good coach. I don't care about being really, really good at having a clean house. I just don't care. Good enough is good enough. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yeah, I don't wash the dishes every single day. Sometimes I do, but that's not normal. I don't vacuum the floor every single day. There's a difference for me between that's way too messy and this is okay to live in. And I've accepted that that's fine, that that's a fine way to live, because I can't, if I try to do everything with that same level of excellence, I'm not going to have time for all of it. And I'm just going to end up, me personally, I'm just going to end up being upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found that I just cannot even try to do everything, because it's just not going to happen. And I see a lot of new mothers out there trying to do that, and in the meantime, they lose everything that they love, that they used to love to do, and now they're only mom because all their time is taken up with cleaning the house and chasing after the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's really hard to see, you know, what's it going to be like later when I'm not having to constantly be available to this little person or these little people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there really going to be a time where I'll be able to do the things that I used to enjoy doing a lot more often? And that's hard because it doesn't happen within just a couple of months or even sometimes a couple of years. It can take some time. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, you've changed and shifted. And then what you love might end up changing later, but that's okay. I mean, there's loss and there's gain when you have motherhood.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I'm finding that, I was all scattered all over the place doing a lot of different things before I had the baby. And now I'm trying to rethink the way I work, because that doesn't work anymore. Cause I'm being interrupted every, 30 minutes or so on the short side of things.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to get into the groove of anything, let alone the 5 million things I was doing before.
Yeah, that was always my complaint when I would think, I have this job to do, because my youngest is 4 years old, and I was doing this work before I had her, before I got pregnant with her. I was doing this work. I was still new at it, but I obviously understood that I needed a certain amount of time to get my shit done, and I couldn't see how to even do that anymore because she needed me so often.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still days where it's like, well, I give up working because she needs a lot more of my attention today than she did yesterday or whatever.
Right, right. And, it's hard to say no, obviously, and you shouldn't say no. to the little right. ones.
Right. So, because in the end, they have to be more important than my work. Even though my work is very important to me, they're people.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And it's really difficult to find that balance again now mm-hmm. that you've got some other big person in your life that needs you so much. Mm-hmm. The stuff that you used to do is just, it really has to, you really have to figure out how to pursue those things on a different scale. Not necessarily mm-hmm. smaller, but just different.
Yeah, different yeah. scale, definitely.
Yeah. So for the new moms out there, including me, does it get any easier as time goes on?
It does. It gets easier. And I don't know if it gets easier because what used to bother you is okay now, mm-hmm. or if it's because you grow this ability to handle things that you couldn't handle before, or it might be a combination of those things, but it does get easier.
Mm-hmm. So for somebody who used to be this wonderfully creative person making things all the time before the baby, and now after the baby has done absolutely nothing, what's the first thing that you would tell this person to do to start on the path to getting a little bit of that creative stuff back?
I would say try journaling, because at the very least you can feel like maybe 3 years from now, when I can do all this stuff again, I'll look back through my journals and I'll remember I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that, and then it won't be forgotten.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I highly recommend journaling, although I haven't in the past, few months or so.
Yeah. And if you get a journal with nice thick pages, you can draw or mm-hmm. or paint or sketch or write. I mean, yep. whatever you feel like doing.
Yeah, those are my favorite kinds. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So anything else you want to say along these lines?
No, I just I have such a big heart for moms as a whole, and new moms definitely, just because it's such a huge thing you're undergoing, and it's going to change you in ways that you still haven't really figured out yet, even though you've probably already realized at least a handful of things that have changed. Mm-hmm. But it's a lifelong process. Once you choose to become a mother, it changes you forever.
Bree is not the only one who grew into a creativity after kids. Maybe that's you. Maybe you were the most prolific painter in the world before your little ones were born. Whatever happened, we all need some sort of creative practice to ground ourselves, to feed our creativity, to clear our brains of the cobwebs of the day so we can get to our creative work. I commit to get back into journaling daily to nourish my creativity. I'll probably do some writing, some drawing, doodling, and painting, which is what I normally do in my journals anyway. Will you join me? And if you do, please leave a comment on the show notes page at reclaimingcreativity.com. I'd love to get to know you and support you in getting into or back into a creative practice. This has been an episode of Reclaiming Creativity, the podcast where we explore how to reclaim your creative mojo after having kids.